That's what we've been focused on, as what it is that Jesus has brought to us in the gift that he has brought to us. The first week we focused on hope is on the horizon, that hope that lasts isn't just built on the hope that everything will work out someday, that somehow our lives will just fall into place. It is actually a hope that is built on the person of Jesus Christ, that even though in this life we'll have trouble, and that's exactly what Jesus explained to those disciples, in this life you're going to have difficulties, but he has overcome the world. That doesn't mean everything gets fixed. It means that there is a time where he'll come and make everything right. And so we look with anticipation for the return, the second advent, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Week two, last week we talked about love breaking the silence. And so that well-known passage, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that we might have eternal life, that we would not perish, but we would have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so that's the focus of that life-giving love that God has brought to us, that God's desire, that he loves us so much that he sent his Son as a gift to us so that we would know the love of God, to experience and live in the love of God in that restored relationship. Well, this week, the third week of Advent, we unwrap the gift of peace, that gift that Jesus Christ has brought to us that we might know peace. Now, peace is an interesting word because we often think of it in terms of a feeling, right? You feel peaceful, but it's usually associated with circumstances. So it's a feeling, but it's also very much attached to what's happening around us. We can see and hear and experience peace. When we talk about it, we're often talking about external things. We say things like, it's really crazy right now. I need a moment of peace. Right? We're saying things around us just get so busy. I just need that moment of peace where things slow up. Or I need some peace. This is, parents are good for this one. Could I get some peace and quiet, right? The quiet is associated with the peace. It's like, if I want the peace, you need to be quiet, right? That's usually what the parent is saying. So there's something physical attributed to this ability to gain peace. So it's not uncommon to define peace as the absence of turbulence around us. So it would make sense then that so many of us, our efforts at achieving peace are spent in controlling the circumstances around us, trying to get the things that affect our lives to settle down or to come in alignment in such a way that we can get a moment of peace. Now, sometimes that moment of peace is needed with understanding. We'll kind of think, well, if I understand the situation, even if I can't control it, then I'll have peace. If I know what's going on, at least then I'll have some peace of mind about it. The reality that we often experience, though, is we don't know why an area isn't working in our life. We just know that it isn't working. And even our efforts to control it then leave us often frustrated as well. For example, I don't know why I was feeling sick, but now I know the diagnosis. But I still don't have peace because the pathway to a cure isn't there. So the knowledge just isn't enough. It's what's going to happen next. I didn't know why the car wasn't working, but now I do. And the cost of the repair is overwhelming. So knowing the car needs repair, there's knowledge, but now knowing it doesn't necessarily bring peace either. That was for you, Chris and Carolyn. Yeah, that was... Chris and Carolyn had a major car breakdown on a vacation. Yeah, they were just kind of on a... You can get the details later. So it was not a fun one. But just now, once you know the cost of it, that doesn't bring you peace. Now all of a sudden there's maybe some anxiety or trouble because now it seems overwhelming in that sense. I didn't know why my friend was avoiding me, but now I know. They told me the reason. But the problem is she's still mad at me and I can't seem to make it right. There's not peace in that. So we think sometimes if we have knowledge about it, then we'll feel at peace about it. Or if we just have a better grasp on it, we can really feel at peace with it. But so many times, I don't know in your life, but I talk to so many people that want a sense of control over their life that just seems so elusive. They're always grabbing for something, and not in a bad way, but just trying to get that quiet to go with the peace, to get life to settle down enough so that they can experience the peace. To get the medical condition to just not be a factor so they can feel peace. Finances so they can finally feel the peace. But the challenge is that on our best, it is elusive. We might have it for a moment, but then it seems to slip away. But that's why it's so important when we come to this gift that Jesus Christ brings us, and we talk about peace that Jesus brings, it's not in the context of our circumstances being all under our control. It's not about him bringing a knowledge about a situation that we didn't previously know, though that can happen. It has more to do with his authority and his power, and that he's bringing something from heaven that doesn't exist here on earth, so that we can really and truly experience a peace that moves beyond our understanding and moves beyond our circumstances. And so let's pray as we look at Scripture, John chapter 14, and we'll get there in just a moment, but this is really where Jesus unfolds for us, where his peace comes from and where lasting peace comes from. Jesus, thank you that you are the living Word, that when you spoke and when you speak even now, that it's living and active. It's something is happening within not just our ears and our understanding, but it's happening within our heart and in our spirit. You're calling things to life. You're calling things to change. Lord, you're calling things to healing within us. That you would make us whole as you talk about the kingdom of God, as we read in your word about the kingdom of God, and we get to experience firsthand how it affects us right here, right now. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and just speak to each one of us, bring the word alive within us, and open our eyes to what you have for us. Lord, I know that each person sitting here has unique circumstances. And so what I say is going to fall short, but not what you have to say to them. Holy Spirit, what you have to say to each individual will be on point, right to the place where they're living. And so we welcome that now. Holy Spirit, to speak and to move in each individual life. Amen. John chapter 14, it's not really the Christmas story. We'd have to go farther or earlier back in the book of John. John chapter 14 is actually getting close to the end of Jesus' life. And so he's already been born. He's already gone through his teens. He's already been this young man. And so now he's in his early 30s. And in fact, by John 14, he's getting close to the very end of his life, and he's trying to give some understanding to the disciples about what's going to happen, what they're going to experience. He's been ministering for about 3 years, and he's about to be betrayed, crucified, and have the sin of the world put on him. And so he's sitting with his disciples, giving them instruction about how to live life once he's gone. And so that's where we join in the conversation, John 14, 25 through 27, Jesus speaking to the disciples. He says, all of this, his previous instructions, all of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Verse 27 is the one that really stands out to me as I read that. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Here's the place that the disciples are in. They're unknowingly about to have their whole world just tossed and thrown around in chaos. The man that they've been following, they identified, finally they got to the point, you are master, you are Lord, more than just a teacher, you are our Savior. They've gotten to that point, they've arrived to where they can recognize who Jesus truly is, and all of a sudden, he's going to be taken, and they'll question everything. They'll question his teachings, they'll question the healings. Did we see what we thought we saw? Did we really understand what he was talking about? Did he really have authority to do the things? We think he did because we saw it, but at the same time, why did all of this happen? Their whole world is going to be turned upside down. And if they could only know for sure what was going to happen, And yet Jesus gave them a lot of indicators about different things, the way life was going to work, and it still wasn't going to be enough to bring them peace in this chaotic moment. His death probably seemed like everything else was a lie. Jesus says this about his peace to them. He says, "My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives." So how does the world give? I mean, that would be the question. How does the world give peace? How do you or I give peace? Usually it's a form of consolation, isn't it? When I'm trying to console somebody, when I'm trying to counsel them, a lot of times if I'm just polling for my own wealth or my own understanding, I'll say something like, "It'll pass in time." A lot of comfort, right? That's all I know, is that I hope this won't, you know, be something that you have to deal with for a long period of time. I might say something that's just trying to console them. In fact, when people struggle with finances, I had a good Sunday school teacher one time, and it was for young married couples, and we were all just stressing about finances. I mean, what else do young married couples stress about but finances? And so we were just troubled about every little bill that came up, every accident that happened, and so we were just trying to figure out where the next paycheck, next dollar, what was going to cover and make ends meet. And the Sunday school teacher, when one of the couples in our Sunday school group had the irrigation pump stolen from their house, so all of a sudden it was, you know, this expense that they weren't planning on. They came into the class. It had just happened that night before. Water was pouring all over their lawn, and they're just frustrated. They came in. Our Sunday school teacher had this wisdom: "It's just money. You'll make more." You know what? It's good wisdom. You know how much money has probably passed through your hands over time? You may say, "Well, not very much, not enough." But the reality is, over the course of your life, depending on how many years you live, there's quite a bit of money that will pass through your hands, and you realize, you know, it really is a transient thing. In one hand, out the other, it just kind of comes in and comes through, and whether we have savings or not, we just realize when we need money for things, it just seems like we have it. God tends to provide for us. And yet, do you imagine that provided a great amount of peace for the young couple who was struggling and wondering where that was going to come? No, it really didn't. They said, "Easy for you to say," right? But it was the kind of peace that was, even if it was just a glimpse, it was just going to be momentary because they still had to deal with the circumstances they were in. In other words, what we do when we try to give somebody peace is we take from the things that we know that exist in the world and we try to apply them to that person's situation. We try to say, well, there'll be more time, or there'll be more resource, or there'll be somebody else if you have lost a loved one, or there'll be consolation. You always have their memory. We try to find things from earth and apply it to their situation to give them some sense of consolation of the moment that they're going through. Because that's what we have. What else are you going to give except what you have? What you and I have are things of this earth. We have money, we have time, we have some type of resource that we can, some word of encouragement. But Jesus says something different. This is what he says about what's going to bring them peace. He says, "I don't give as the world gives. I'm going to go to my Father." In the context of John chapter 14, he says, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit will be with you, and he'll be in you." You notice he's not taking anything of our resources and saying, "I'm going to make it right for you by making sure that you have all of the earthly resources that you need so that it'll just kind of work you through this life so that you can get to heaven." He says, "No, I'm going to give you peace that you can't find from the resources you have here on earth. I'm going to take from heaven, in fact, I'm going to take God himself in the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to bring him to you. And I'm going to, for those who will invite him in, I'm going to have him. He will be in you as well. And you will have a peace then that doesn't depend on being able to extract things out of your earthly resource, and that no human can give to you, but I'm going to give to you a peace that comes from heaven itself and that supersedes all of the circumstances around you. The Holy Spirit's going to come and be with you, and he will be in you. I'm going to fill you with the presence, the very presence that fills heaven when we're around worshiping around the throne. I'm going to fill you with that same presence here on earth. I'm coming from heaven, and I'm bringing it to earth. I see heads nodding. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the kind of peace that you and I truly need? As good as people are, as caring as people are, as much as people want to help, how many of you have ever been in that place where it doesn't matter what they say? It doesn't matter. There's not a resource in the world that exists that would somehow make it all right. And yet, in that moment of stillness before God, and you call out to God and you say, Lord, nothing is going to mend this. Nothing is going to fix this except that you would take from heaven and bring it here to earth. So why is this so? Well, it's because you can't take from temporary things and give yourself an eternal security. Everything you and I touch, everything that we deal in is temporary. It seems like it's more substantial than that, right? There are buildings, there are resources that have been here before you were born that still exist, and yet they're fading. Even those long-standing resources are temporary, they're fading. And at some point, they will end. They will go away. And so the only hope, the only thing that we can give are temporary things. And so all of us know this, so when it's spoken to us, we think, yeah, you're right, I only have to endure another 5 years, or I only have to endure this for another period of time, which causes us, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, to rise up and say, come quickly, Lord. Because the resources and the peace and the consolation that I'm getting from the earth here is not lasting. I need something more. I need something that will last me. And so we long for heaven. We long to have what's in heaven. But Jesus gave us something even more than just a longing. He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he will be in you and give you not something that is temporary, but something is eternal. God's not drawing from temporary things. He's drawing from eternal resource. And he's depositing that in this clay, this fading body that won't last forever, but you know what will last forever is your spirit that has been made alive in Jesus Christ. As a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, that's one of the things that happens is your spirit at one point was dead, but when you say yes to Jesus Christ, he takes that decaying, dying, already dead spirit within you, and all of a sudden he gives you a new spirit, the Holy Spirit, and it comes alive. And that's why we have that promise that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, if that's your story, you get to say, I get to live forever. God has taken from heaven what is eternal and put it into this earthen vessel. So this peace that I have isn't fading. Just the opposite. It's getting all the stronger as I'm moving heavenward. This peace that I have, this assurance that God has not left me, has not forsaken me, but I have confidence in that he is with me and he will be with me even through the most difficult times. So one of the highlights, if you're jotting anything down and you want to know what to jot down, this is that Jesus doesn't give peace that hangs on the conditions of this world. He gives the eternal peace of the heaven-sent Holy Spirit. If you need a reminder of where this peace that Jesus says, I'm not giving it as the world gives. I'm giving it in a different way. I'm taking from heaven and I'm bringing it to you. It's because he doesn't give you something that hangs on the conditions of the world around you. He gives you an eternal peace that lasts. So this idea, just to kind of stretch this out a little bit farther before we close, this idea is really cemented in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. The author there is talking about worship. And he's talking about the way that worship occurred in the Old Testament versus the way worship occurs in the New Testament because of Jesus Christ and what he's done. Hebrews chapter 9 outlines this idea. He's talking about covenants. He says in the Old Testament, we had the Old Covenant, and that covenant was formed by sacrifice when there needed to be atonement for sin. then the priest would come in and make a sacrifice for that sin. But it was temporary because it only covered whatever sins you did up to that point. And then he goes on to talk a little bit about what Jesus does. So Hebrews chapter 9, verses 7 through 12, let me read it to you. And if it helps to close your eyes to really soak this in. But catch what he's talking about, taking from heaven versus taking from earth for this new covenant. He says, "But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people, sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper." So I pause there because he's saying, listen, the old covenant, what was done was to temporarily get us from point A to point B, but it never took care of the situation because it couldn't clear your conscience. You and I would never fully be made right with God because sin still was our condition. All it did was cover over what we had done in ignorance up to that point. And so it required sacrifice, then another sacrifice, then another sacrifice, because I don't want to be the one to break this to you, but people sin a lot. People do a lot of sin. You know, not you and not me, but people do. So it kept requiring sacrifices over and over. So he says, listen, it wasn't able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They're only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of a new order. But when Christ, here it is, verse 11, "But when Christ came as the high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, that is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption." Hebrews chapter 9 is a great verse. I encourage you to go back and read more about that whole picture and imagery that it's outlining is happening. But essentially it's saying this. We had a man-made temple. We had offerings that were done with things from the creation that were created things. And so all that they could do was cover for a period of time, temporarily. When Jesus came, he didn't come and offer himself in the temple as a temporary sacrifice. He went to the temple, the throne room of God. And he offered himself not in a temporary way, but once for all on the cross. He made an eternal sacrifice that covered sin, period. Not that sin or the next sin, but sin, period. He covered it. And so when we talk about peace and what Jesus Christ has done, the reason followers of Jesus Christ can have such peace is because we can look to the heavenly temple and we know what Jesus has done wasn't a flesh thing. It wasn't a created thing. He didn't take from our resources to try to appease the Father. He came from heaven, offered himself in heaven to address an issue that we couldn't ever handle on our own because all we had was our own resources. What an amazing blessing it is. What an amazing truth it is that when Jesus speaks about bringing peace to each of your lives, he's not just giving kind, consoling words to you. He's not trying to just appease you for a period of time and say, it's okay, you'll get through it. He's not just trying to give you a little pat on the back and say, yeah, I know life's tough, but buck up, little camper. I don't know that Jesus would say that anyways, but it's not just some feel-good type of thing he's trying to say. He's saying, listen, I'm giving you a peace that is from heaven, and it supersedes everything that you experience on this earth. Because all of this stuff is going to come and go and come and go until the return of Jesus Christ. And he says, but I'm giving you something of eternal weight and value. so that when everything around you, just like it did for the disciples, when everything around you, and you can't tell me an issue or a problem you're dealing with that is too much, that Jesus says, oh no, I can't give peace for that. I wasn't expecting that. Anything that you are going through, Jesus Christ can say, there's peace for that. There's something from heaven that can come to your life if you'll simply receive it and not be looking around frantically, what do I have? What does somebody else have? How can I get this? And the sense of agitation and uneasiness that we feel sometimes when we're looking at every possible resource except getting on our face before our Heavenly Father and saying, Lord, I don't need the stuff of this world. I don't need what somebody else can give me. I don't need, and I can't make up something good enough that's going to give me peace in this moment. Father, take from heaven now, and your Holy Spirit just come and envelop me. And what you are experiencing in the throne room right now, the very presence of God, would you come and just bring that and overshadow all of these temporary circumstances and bring the peace that flows from heaven, that I would hold on to that and experience that. So the one who spoke to wind and waves, peace, be still. So in your own life, he has the authority to just speak over your life, peace, be still. Be at rest in your Heavenly Father. What a gift he's given to us this Christmas. The peace of Jesus Christ that surpasses our understanding. It surpasses our circumstances. And it comes directly from heaven. We're going to respond in our worship time, but just a couple things to think about is just to simply say, Lord, is there an area of my life that I've just been frantic? I've been looking all around for resources, something of this earth that would help soothe my soul, soothe my mind, as I've been wanting some type of peace to come about. This morning in your response, I would just encourage you just to say, Lord, I still myself in your presence, and I stop looking everywhere else around me, and I just still myself before you, and I say, Lord, you know. You have resources beyond what I can find here on earth. So I invite you, Holy Spirit, to bring a peace that comes from heaven. If you're somebody who has never even made that decision to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then what Scripture teaches is that you really actually don't know peace. And I know exactly what that's like. Before I came to Christ, I was so wanting my world to come to order. I wanted my parents just to get along, and they couldn't. I wanted school to have meaning and purpose, and it just felt like it didn't. Everything around me just seemed like it was so tenuous, like it could just fall apart at any moment. And so when I said yes to Jesus Christ, I said, Lord, I want to live life as a disciple. I want to follow your teachings. I want you to be Lord over my life. It's not as though everything fell into place perfectly, but all of a sudden, I had clarity about who I was, what life was about, and where I was going. And so if you have not made that decision to know Jesus Christ this morning, December 16th, 2018 is a great day for you to make that decision. To say, I want the peace that passes my circumstances and my understanding to stay with me going forward.